This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
After all, they're just wrestling, right?
Woo! We'll break your bones! We'll grind you into putty! We'll turn your faces off!
It's time to take out the trash on Turnbuckle Trash. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective with three fans who know how to talk some trash.
Without further ado, allow me to present the newest sensation of the entertainment world,
Zane Peterson.
Well, he's doing really, really well blocking those punches with his face.
Ajay Salveson.
I'm feeling such an odd mixture of pride and mortal terror.
There is a creature alive today who has survived millions of years of evolution without change, without passion, and without logic.
Dave Denton.
A mindless eating machine.
Ready, master control?
Ready, switch on.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
I'm taking the trash out!
Hi everyone, it's Dave, and on this edition of Turnbuckle Trash, Zane and I are going to discuss a very slow drive down something called Fastlane. Was it fast? And we're on the road to WrestleMania. We talk underused wrestlers. TNA is dead, Brother Love said so. Ajay and I talk SmackDown's ratings, and we meet a lucha legend. And it's all coming up on this edition of Turnbuckle Trash.
Turnbuckle Trash fans, you can stay in the ring with us by following us on Facebook and clicking that like button on our Facebook page, Turnbuckle Trash. Or you can follow us on Twitter, at Turnbuckle Trash. And in case you got any comments, suggestions, or questions, you can email us at WPFpod@gmail.com. Again, that's WPFpod@gmail.com.
Before we get into the meat of the matter, another wrestling legend has passed away on March the 7th. We wanted to recognize the great career of Cowboy Ron Bass. He was 68 years old. He had been hospitalized recently for a burst appendix. He was a very successful tag team wrestler with the Long Riders with a wrestler named Black Bart. Ron Bass went to the WWE in 1987, feuded with the Junkyard Dog and Brutus the Barber Beefcake. He was one of those tough guys who looked the part. A great wrestler will be missed. Cowboy Ron Bass, dead at the age of 68. We at Turnbuckle Trash would like to also send our condolences out to the greatest wrestling commentator of all time, Jim Ross, whose wife passed away this past week. She was riding a Vespa scooter when she was struck by a vehicle near Norman, Oklahoma, and succumbed to severe head injuries. So once again, our condolences to the family of Jim Ross.
It's time to take out the trash on Turnbuckle Trash. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective.
This isn't a social event. This is a competition where there's one winner. You don't see the officers before a fight playing with jacks and juice boxes. No, they talk trash and they beat the crap out of each other.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
Yes, Zane, on this edition of Turnbuckle Trash, I thought we would talk a little bit about what's coming up. But when we talk about what's coming up, we also need to look back at what happened at WWE Fastlane. I was disappointed. I did not really like Fastlane. How about you?
Wait, when you talk about coming up, are you any pun there for Xavier Woods and Brad Maddox?
Family show. We'll talk more about that. What I term as a big old fat fumble. That includes some pretty weird annotations too. But when you watch Fastlane, why? I mean, really, come on. What what was going on in Fastlane? I just didn't enjoy it. I don't know whether I
that was. That was the stupidest. It was like a glorified episode of Raw.
Yeah. I mean, everything from Charlotte and Bayley with the run-in with Sasha Banks and the controversy, I just didn't like that. There was very little about Fastlane that I thought was really good at setting up what's coming
up
with Mania.
I think that goes back to what we've talked about many times, is too many pay-per-views. Why do we need Fastlane before WrestleMania?
Or why did we need the SmackDown 2 weeks earlier?
Yeah,
why not combine the two?
Yeah, why do we need all these fetching pay-per-views? You know, get more money. I don't know. Is that it?
More money.
I mean, they don't care. I honestly think. Well, maybe we can talk about this later. But I don't think the WWE doesn't care anymore. I think that they don't care about the fans. I think all they care about is money.
You might have something there because they're trying to sell the WWE network, and their thing is having two pay-per-views per month plus the other product. And I think it's watering down what they're trying to accomplish. When they accomplish something good, it's really good, but the rest of it is really watered down. I mean, Kevin Owens and Goldberg, oh my word, what a bore.
That was so stupid. Remember, I said that. I said, I hope that this match is a slobber knocker. And we both agreed. We said, there is no way Goldberg's going to do the whole 2 second thing, right? There's no way, right? Right? We both were like going, this has got to be a match, right? Right?
Wrong.
But why, I don't know.
Kevin Owens playing hide and seek, and then Goldberg winning because Jericho comes out, and it's a squash.
Yeah.
And I just didn't like the way it ended. I don't know whether they're trying to hide some of the stuff that Goldberg cannot do well at his age, and he never was the biggest, greatest performer.
No.
Or if they're trying to protect his legacy of doing these quick matches. I don't understand it, but I would like to see somebody have a little bit more emphasis with him being able to handle what's going on
yeah.
in the ring. So
I agree. I mean, Goldberg, he doesn't need to do more than four moves, but let's have those four moves last at least 20 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean,
have him go back and forth a little bit. Have Kevin Owens kick out of the spear before he does the jackhammer or something, Let him roll out of the ring.
Let Kevin Owens do that freaking when he does that suplex off the top rope. You know how they go to, they're like they're going to do a superplex and he spins it and turns around. That's my favorite Kevin Owens move, by the way.
Right. Awesome.
Honestly, Dave, Fastlane was so stupid and so boring. Is it worth even spending time on? I think all the fans would agree with you.
But you know what? I'll go back. When they do something right, they do it right. I thought that the Neville and Jack Gallagher match, as much as I could care less about Jack Gallagher, it was a fun match to watch.
Yeah.
And Neville, I mean, he's a cruiserweight, king of the cruiserweights, and I know they're setting up this thing with Austin Aries, but that was a fun match to watch. Both of them got their high spots in. It was an actual match. They get good storytelling. The rest of it, too many run-ins, too many – I just didn't like it.
Yeah.
And then when you fast forward from Fastlane, the final segment on Raw this past Monday night, March the 11th, was just brilliant. With Stephanie McMahon forcing Mick to fire a member of the Raw roster and all that. It was brilliantly done.
And
that would have been more of a payoff for a pay-per-view than what they did at the pay-per-view.
Let me ask you a question while you're talking about this. So leading up to WrestleMania, about the four or five weeks before WrestleMania, we get decent shows on television.
Right.
And then the rest of the year it goes to crap. Why? Why can we not have some decent television the rest of the year? I don't know. I don't get it. I don't get it.
It's a great question. And, you know, we've talked about it on the podcast before in terms of Brickell Trash that Raw has just been a big disappointment to me.
Yeah.
With the roster split, SmackDown has so much more action, so much more. And I think, I'm beating the dead horse here. It goes back to 3 hours as opposed to two.
Yep. So let me ask you a question now. Do you want to move on, or do you want to spend more time on Fastlane?
Well, Fastlane, I'm done with Fastlane because I just thought let's drop Fastlane and you ask the question.
So my question is maybe this could be part of the pay-per-views and the lackluster television. Does the WWE have too much talent? Is there such a thing? Is that a phrase that can be thrown out there? Does the WWE have too much good talent?
You know, that's actually quite a brilliant statement on your end. I mean, you look at the top-notch talent they have that is not being used. You and I were going to discuss the underused talent that we talked about in the last time. We're going to talk about some of this underused talent and how they're not being able to have the chance to shine. I think it's a real problem for them, and I think that's why they're trying to do the stuff with the 205 division, the cruiserweights, and then with the British TV and NXT. I think they're trying to find a place for all this talent and the brand split, and then you put that in there. But maybe they just need to scale it back just a hair. And let some of this talent shine and maybe get rid of some of the other stuff.
Well, and here's another question, though. Why not? I mean, it's a fact of life in the professional wrestling industry that the talent is overworked. You know, you're talking 300 days a year, so on and so forth. Why not give some of these guys some time off, some time away from television, let some of this underused talent that's been off television for a long time step up a little bit. Maybe they don't have to win the WWE Championship. Maybe they don't have to win the Universal Championship. But some of these mid-card titles and some decent matches, for hell's sakes, I don't care who holds the title, Dave. I don't care. Well, you know what I want to see? A good match.
Yeah.
I want to see two guys out there knocking the living daylights out of each other. Or two females out there.
Story.
Yeah, exactly. You know, let's have some storytelling along with some damn good matches. But why can't we get that?
And once again, they're concentrating so much on, right now they're concentrating on Mania. They're trying to set up, you know, that you don't want to miss Mania. And I think they're doing that so much that I really don't care if I miss Mania right now, except there's a couple of matches on Mania that I care about.
Yeah,
and to be frankly with you right now, I am not looking forward to Goldberg and Brock Lesnar. Right now, I just don't care about that match in the least.
I don't either. I thought it was cool when they brought Goldberg back. But I honestly think he should have just done the one match and been done. I don't like what they're doing with him. I don't think the storytelling is going very well with him. I just don't think that they're using that very well. And you know, and everybody's like, "Oh, Goldberg was WCW. Goldberg was WCW. Sting was WCW." Let's just face it. Nobody will ever be. They're trying to use Goldberg what they wanted to do with Sting. You know, they wanted to keep Sting around for a year or so and have him in four or five matches, and Sting got hurt because of reckless endangerment by Seth Rollins.
Yeah. But then again, yes, Sting credit, he said that he would he didn't blame Seth for what happened, but yes, I agree. So
yeah,
but you know, when you're talking about that kind of thing, with what's going on in the WWE, when you look at when they do something right, and I go back to Monday Night Raw with with Mick Foley and Stephanie McMahon. Now, this was just storytelling because it really didn't involve, most of the stuff didn't involve in the ring. But Mick was, you know, he was sitting there trying to figure out who he was going to fire so he could keep his job. And then he decides to, he says he's going to fire Stephanie McMahon from Raw. And then Hunter comes out. There's the confrontation with Hunter cutting a great promo on Mick saying that, you know, watch out for your kids who work for the WWE now. His daughter is a developmental talent in NXT. Dewey works in the front office of the WWE. So they were threatening those with their job. And, you know, Mick was showing the real emotion. And then he goes over in the corner, and he's kind of cowering in the corner, and he gets out Mr. Socko. If you go back to Mr. Socko, and he puts it into Hunter's gullet, and there's Stephanie McMahon, you know, hitting him in the ding-ding.
He just got him in the ding-ding! Got him in the ding-ding!
And then Seth Rollins coming out. You know, I liked that aspect of that storytelling at the end of Raw, but boy, the rest of it is just brutal right now for me. I don't know if I'm being overcritical or just I like SmackDown so much better and some of the other stuff that's going on in other promotions so much better than what's going on in Raw.
Well, and, you know, let's another thing, Dave, is switching gears a little bit, but on the same, I guess we're just, it's kind of the same thing, though, that, like you said about other promotions. I mean, Lucha Underground just hit Netflix, dude. That's a huge deal.
Yeah.
That's huge. That's freaking awesome. That brings their program to so many more homes and so many more screens. I mean.
And they've had great reviews so far. People have been binge watching season one and two of Lucha Underground. It's been all over social media. And I'm telling people that are listening right now, if you haven't watched Lucha Underground, it's a great show. Great show. Marty the Moth, of course, Martin's a friend of the program, but Sexy Star, who, by the way, is actually going to retire from professional wrestling to become a professional female boxer, of all things. And then you've got, Mil Muertes. Oh,
Mil Muertes,
what a
yeah.
monster.
So many other good, guys like Angelico and I mean, there is so much good talent out there, you know. Just good, and just a good program.
Then you add the final touches to that program, the announcing team, Matt Stryker. Yeah, that Matt Stryker, who was in the WWE. The former high school teacher who got fired for being a professional wrestler, and Vampiro, who was a big, huge star in Mexico and was doing really well in the WCW before all that went to nowhere. But they do a great job on commentary and really add to the show. Lucha Underground is awesome. Just love it.
Yeah. And you like ROH.
I love ROH. All the changes that are going on in TNA.
Yeah.
Well, excuse me. You can't call it TNA. We'll have more on that in a few minutes, by the way.
Okay.
No longer TNA.
So let's go. Let's reverse now. Okay. Now we kind of discussed our feelings.
Nothing but feelings.
So,
by the way, let me discuss that song really quick, okay? I went to a Guns N' Roses concert back in 1991. And I'm just telling you this because Slash played Feelings as a guitar solo during that concert. That was the big riot in St. Louis, and I think that's probably why everybody rioted. It was because of Axl, but still.
Feelings? So we've discussed our feelings about other promotions thing. So let's shift into reverse. We'll back up. Be careful. Look behind you. Make sure your buzzer's gone. Back to the WWE.
Okay.
Okay. Here, I'm gonna throw this out at you. You tell me, and you take it wherever you want to go. I'll say one word, and you tell me what you think. Jack Swagger.
Sounds like I'm being psychiatric. Jack Swagger?
You want me to talk about Jack Swagger?
Well, yeah. Well, because we're talking about talent, underused talent, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Jack Swagger.
So who just announced that they were leaving?
Jack Swagger.
Why did Jack leave?
Because he was not being used properly. That was one of the things that he was upset about. He was not being used very well at all.
Okay. What about Cody Rhodes?
Cody Rhodes was, he didn't like the direction his character was going. They didn't want him to get rid of the Stardust character. And he wanted to be done with that and be able to move on and develop his character as Cody Rhodes.
What about Drew Galloway?
Well, I never know what they were doing with Drew Galloway. I mean, what a great performer. And then he gets put into that comedy angle with the 3MB, and then they let him go and they keep the others. I mean, give me a break. I love Heath Slater, but Drew Galloway, I mean, I put Drew Galloway up there with Seth freaking Rollins as far as the talent goes.
I'll say, you know, I mean, but you've got so many people right now that are they're leaving, man. They're done with the WWE. And there's a lot of people that are saying that they're not going to re-sign when their contracts are up. Because
there's been talk about Cesaro leaving.
Yeah, they're tired of it.
They almost
lost Dolph, and I'm honestly really surprised Dolph didn't leave last summer. If Dolph went to TNA right now, he would be their top guy. There is no doubt in my mind that if he left and jumped over to TNA or Impact Wrestling, whatever you want to call it these days, there is no reason why. Could you imagine some of the matches like that Dolph and Cody Rhodes could put on as two of the top guys in Impact? I mean,
and then you add the fact that Cody Rhodes has worked out such a sweet deal for himself. Mm-hmm. Not only does he get to do the independents and do New Japan, and then he's doing some stuff with Impact, he's also now a member of the Bullet Club in ROH.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a pretty sweet deal for Mr. Cody Rhodes, who's now calling himself the American Nightmare.
Yeah.
And he's being a great heel doing that.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. And I think it's cool that he is able to keep that character and go across these promotions. That's pretty cool because for these promotions to be able to work together, you know, even if it's just around one talent, that's cool to me because ROH could give Impact the finger and say, no, we're not going to, you know, we want you to sign an exclusive. But let's admit that Cody Rhodes is a hot name that, you know, to have him in your program, you probably do about anything if especially when you're in Impact Wrestling's shoes. They don't have a lot to bargain with right now.
No, they don't.
I mean, and that's just the truth.
We'll talk more about that in a little bit, but the whole situation, and I think you have really something there. Does the WWE have too much talent? And I would say yes in some aspects because they're trying to find places for all these people on Raw and then SmackDown with the brand split. Then they have all these great tag teams that are pretty much taking over the NXT right now. The tag teams are the best part about NXT right now. And they have that going for them. Now they have the 205 Live, which are the cruiserweights, the high flyers, which I think you said this last time was that the 205 Live was probably in direct result of the popularity of Lucha Underground right now.
Yes. Yep.
So.
Have you heard how, I mean, are things like the 205 Live and the whole British thing, are they successful, or is it just the WWE not caring?
You know, I don't know. I think maybe that would be a good question.
Is it just the WWE trying to monopolize?
Well, that's part of it, but I think they're, you know, the way cable TV is treated. I'm going to ask Juice. He has a great source. I'll ask Juice to do this, see if he can do some research. And see what the ratings are for the different programs. We discussed this once. We'll talk about Raw. We'll talk about SmackDown, 205 Live, NXT, and then compare that with Lucha and also with the stuff that's going on with Impact right now and see how how that is going on, and you know, the British thing, how it's being received. But I think it's all going back to them trying to do that streaming service, which is the big thing right now in cable television, or in television and entertainment, is the streaming services. New Japan's got one. TNA, to a point, has one. You know, ROH is trying to sell some of their old programming and all. And then even the guys from UCW Zero, a local promotion in Salt Lake City, are trying to sell some of their old programs where they used to put them onto directly onto YouTube. Now they're trying to have kind of like a streaming service where you can access them and pay $9.95 a month. But wait, there's more. So it's all the streaming services. I think that's where a lot of it that's going on right now.
I think you're right, and that's extremely consumer driven, because people are sick and tired of cable companies paying big bills and not getting the option of what you want to watch. It's like, if I want to pay, it's like an a la carte. I pay for the WWE Network because I like professional wrestling, and I don't think that cable TV offers, you know, enough professional wrestling, especially the old content that was hard to find. You had to either, you know, a lot of the WWE stuff was copyrighted on YouTube, and so they wouldn't let you play it. And, you know, you, of course, video stores are going by the wayside. I don't even know if there's any video stores left in most towns. And so you couldn't find the old content, and that's what I love, is the old stuff. You know, I love going back and watching Shawn Michaels and Razor Ramon and Bret Hart and Owen, and you know, that's one thing that I enjoy, is the old content, and I get to have it because of the WWE Network. So I'll give them props on that.
You pretty much, we've been talking about it. Who is the most underutilized talent right now that you see, or maybe a couple of names in that are still in the WWE?
Well, I'm going to default to one of my favorites. And I'll say Dolph Ziggler.
Uh-huh.
Because it's a revolving door for Dolph Ziggler. They get him right up there to the top and give him a WWE Championship match and then shove him right back down below mid-card.
Mm-hmm.
Time and time again, they're doing that to him.
Yeah.
And there is no reason in my mind why that Dolph should not be competing with guys like Seth Rollins, and you know, I know maybe that even across different brands, AJ Styles. There's no reason why Dolph and AJ couldn't have hella matches.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I put Dolph as one of mine. I mean, I would put him right up there with The Miz, and then we've talked about how great the program with The Miz and Dolph was last year.
Well, up until the last 2 months, I would have put The Miz on the list, because I said months ago that there's no reason why The Miz shouldn't be a top dog right now. I said that months ago, and I'm glad to see him up there right now. You know, and I think that that's because of his promos and being on SmackDown, he gets a little more TV time, and I think that he is doing excellent. You know, of course I'm not thrilled about their stupid tag team build. I think that he should just take on John Cena again and have a freaking slobber knocker like they did back at WrestleMania 27.
But, oh man, the promos the two have been cutting on each other, have they been incredibly well done?
Oh, wow. has The Miz been hit? What you mean to say is, has The Miz hit John Cena below the belt?
Oh, man. It's been awesome.
Yeah.
As The Miz. Awesome, you know?
Yeah.
Just incredible work. But, yeah, I agree with you. There's so much talent up there that people are getting lost in the shuffle, but the WWE does dominate right now. You got to admit. I mean,
they do.
The others are small potatoes compared to Vince's boys. I mean, they are just.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like going from Major League Baseball as far as attendance and the way the ratings are going down to single way ball. I mean,
Let me ask you another question. What about, okay, so with this talent question, Another question, maybe we need to have, are they pushing the wrong talent? Let's face it, everybody hates Roman Reigns. He is just not over with the fans right now. They just do not like him. And who do they give him? One of the top dogs in the company, The Undertaker. To me, that's like, Vince loves him for some reason. He loves Roman Reigns. He wants Roman Reigns to carry the torch, the stinking bad, that his teeth hurt. And something's got to be done. Can Roman Reigns win the fans over?
No, not at this point. He cannot. He'd be better off of becoming a heel.
Yeah, and just in great embracing the booze.
Yeah. He's they're trying to walk that line between being a babyface and a heel. They're trying to do
trying to make him into an anti-hero.
Yeah, to an anti, and it's not working. I will agree to there, and I love him, and I've always thought he was. I'm more of a fan than you are, you know, mm-hmm. to be honest with you. But what I've been watching the last couple of weeks with them trying to set up The Undertaker, it just makes no sense. However, last Monday, when they brought out Braun Strowman, again, someone that I don't quite understand what they're doing with, and they had him attack Roman Reigns. So are they going to change this to a three-way or something during Mania?
I
wouldn't be surprised if that change did not occur either this coming Monday night or the week right before Mania. They change it from Roman Reigns and The Undertaker, and then they're going to have Braun Strowman in there in some capacity. So I don't know.
I know. You know. I'm trying to think of. You know, I would dare say there's a lot of people on SmackDown that I like right now.
Uh-huh.
I think are, but I don't know. Some other, I don't know. I'm trying to think of some other people who I don't think are very used well right now. I don't know. But
well, your big guys on SmackDown are the big guys.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, they are. They're doing a great work right now. They're letting The Miz be The Miz. And Cena is a master at one thing. I mean, I never have been the biggest John Cena fan. But he is a master at taking a crowd that is booing him, and then in the next minute they're cheering him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's done that with his promos against The Miz. He's done that in the past. I've been amazed watching how he can do that on the fly. So that's a big talent that John has developed over the years, besides his biceps.
Yeah. You know,
awesome.
He's always been pretty good on the mic. You know, I'll give him that. You know, and he has improved his arsenal as of late quite a bit, which is good to see. But
and there's talk about him taking some time off as soon as Mania is over with too. So.
I know, and I would embrace that. He needs to step aside and let some other people share the limelight a little bit.
Yeah,
you know,
I think he knows that. He's got so many irons in the fire. I don't think he'll ever give it up. I mean, he's still a relatively young man. He's not old by any means, but, you know, he's towards the end of his career, and he can still put on a good show. But what about this thing with Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton?
I'm a little confused about that, too. I don't know. It's good. It's good stuff. It's good stuff, but I'm a little confused still on it.
Yeah, are they going to be introducing a Sister Abigail character? I've been trying to saying, yeah, that would be so great, but who is it going to be and all that? But that's one of the matches I'm looking forward to in WrestleMania. I'm really looking forward to that match. And
that was on his feet, the Stray Cat. Is he ready? Let's go to the match, please.
I'd like to get old Hacksaw Jim Duggan's 2x4 and do a little work on you.
Tag me, please!
What do you call that, a flying springboard knee to the face?
Oh, that works.
All the fans here, it's just two guys rolling around in spandex together, so.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
UCW0. Now, just a few weeks ago, UCW0, which is a promotion out of Salt Lake City, a wrestling school, they had their 15th anniversary show, and Zane and I went. Yeah. Was it fun or what?
Dude, you know, the whole night was, you know, Raw does a 3-hour show, right?
Uh-huh.
Do you realize that show was 3 hours?
Uh-huh.
Did it feel like 3 hours, though?
Well, when I was standing in line to meet Rey Mysterio, it did.
Yes, you're right. There were some portions of the show that were a little more lackluster than others, but
yeah.
I would dare say for the amount of the length of the show and stuff like that, it flowed very well.
Yes, it did a great, awesome job.
And, you know, I would dare say there was probably only two matches that were the whole rest of the night, there was every match had good high spots, and we had a couple of tag team matches, had a couple of women's matches. It was
had a battle royal.
Yeah,
it was great.
Yeah, I loved it. Then the main event, we got to see Jason Jackson and Martin Casas and what's the other guy's name?
Junior X.
Yeah, Junior X and Los Mochis Taco, Rey Mysterio Jr., and then there was another kid in there. I don't remember some of the talent.
I don't have it right in front of me.
His initials are DA. I don't remember what his name is, though. But all in all, what a good match. It was good to see Marty and Rey Mysterio and some old school stuff in there, too, with the brass knuckles. Don't forget to mention our friend MK.
The MK Bandit was there. Yeah, that's right. It was fun, and we had fun. I even bought a T-shirt from the Tag Team Champions because the guys are so much fun to watch. That's ACHD is what they call themselves as the Tag Team Champions. Andrew Sowell and Tom Chant, and they played the heel part, but they were so funny when I was talking to them when I bought the T-shirt. Just had a great time with them. So, guys, ACHD, it's too cheesy, baby. Got my T-shirt ready to go.
Yeah, that's what that's all about. What is it? The burgers, the babes, and I can't remember what they're.
Yeah, burgers, babes, and the belts. Yeah,
burgers, babes, and the belts.
Yeah.
Which reminds me, Dave, there is two independent shows coming up within the next 2 months in Salt Lake again. War is putting something on, and War is who we've had Super Destroyer on the show before. And then there's another promotion out of Salt Lake, too, that somebody's been on the show, Jagger Lane, wrestles with. And they do a lot of charity work. And
now the Epic guys?
Yes, Epic.
Yeah.
Yeah. So War and Epic both have shows coming up within the next couple of months in the Salt Lake area.
And also UCW Zero.
UCW Zero has, I think it's, is it Fool's Gold? Coming up.
And inexpensive, and then the kids can get to meet the wrestlers and talk to them, get autographs, and they're larger than live characters.
You remember that one time when we went to UCW and Andrew Sowell took that chair shot to the head?
Yes.
Well, and this time, do you remember that match? There was that street fight match, and that kid, how many chair shots to the head did that kid take?
Oh, four or five at least, right
gosh.
To the head. And then they had the chair wrapped in barbed wire, and he landed right on top of it, and his head was bleeding, his back was bleeding in some places, and we had everything in that 15th anniversary show. We had hardcore, we had tag team, we had the ladies, we had tag team champions, we had battle royals, we had fatal three-way.
And even legends.
And legends with Rey Mysterio. Now, let's talk a little bit about Rey Mysterio, getting to meet him. Now, it did take quite a while. I think they sold more tickets than they thought they were going to meet him. And he was 30 minutes late, just telling you the truth. But how gracious was Rey Mysterio Jr.?
Yeah, and how patient was he?
I know when I finally got to go up there and talk to him just for a second. And when we're talking meet and greet, it's really, really quick. I told him. I said, Ray, I just got to tell you that I enjoyed your match so much with Chavo Guerrero Jr. That was actually the final appearance of Chavo Sr., who was involved in the match. And I said, I just can't tell you how much I really enjoyed that. And Ray looked at me and said, thank you. He said, it was just a couple of old veterans showing the guys how it was done.
Yeah. And I thought that was really cool for him to say that.
So. Well, and I told him I had my son, my four-year-old, he has a Rey Mysterio mask, and Rey autographed it for him. And I said, for my boy, he's four. I said, we love watching you on Lucha Underground. And he said, you know, he says, that's good to hear. He says, this new generation of fans, he says, that still knows who I am. He says, and people still know who I am. He says, and especially the younger generation.
Well, he's kind of a larger-than-life character. He carries himself so well. And I take it back to that match when Martin gets in there. And you could tell that Martin and Rey were the real big pros in this match. I mean, you could tell the speed picked up, the physicality picked up. And Martin gets in there, and he's a lot taller and bigger than Rey. And he pats Rey Mysterio on the head like he's a little boy. I literally laughed out loud on that one. I thought that was a great spot.
Well, I think my favorite spot was when MK tossed Marty the brass knuckles. No, it was Rey had him. Rey had him, and he tossed him over to – he yanked him off of MK or something, and he tossed
him over. Yeah, Rey got him off MK.
Yeah, he tossed him to Marty, and then jumps down on his back and starts holding his head until the ref kicks Marty out.
That's right. I forgot about that. That was cool.
That was like some Ric Flair stuff there.
Oh, it was.
That was good
stuff.
And
that's what we're talking about. Great storytelling. And that was a great story being told by Duke Bros in the ring. So it was fun.
Well, all in all, a lot going on. Lots been happening the last couple of weeks.
So, coming up in part two of Turnbuckle Trash, we're going to talk about TNA being no more. And then a butt fumble that I probably thought was more of a butt fumble than just about anybody else. That's all coming up in the second section of this edition of Turnbuckle Trash.